Thank you, Liz. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Jen Chaney, and I'm the Senior Director of Franchise Development for Right at Home. And today I'm going to be visiting with President and CEO Brian Petronic to discuss some of our current initiatives that Right at Home is implementing in order to grow and compete in the home care space. Brian, how are you today?
Doing great, Jen. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you. Okay, so first of all, I want to start off by saying that 30 minutes is nowhere near enough time to talk about all the things that we are currently working on, but just to start off, a few things that come to mind first and foremost, something that I want to visit about is called Right Focus. It's something that we're currently working on that I would like our listeners to hear a little bit about. So can we start with that and just basically give a rundown of what exactly is Right Focus?
Sure. Yep, happy to do that. And thanks to all of you for joining the call today. So Right Focus is basically taking information that over the years that we know is very important for our franchise owners for operating their day-to-day businesses, kind of the drivers, if you will, behind the business. And so, you know, we've got a lot of experience in the industry, a lot of experience helping people go into business and operate these businesses successfully. So because ours is really an emerging industry, it was difficult for a while for us to take all that information and provide it back to our franchise owners in a meaningful way. And that was not just specific to Right at Home. That was kind of an industry type of thing because you kind of have to have the platform in place to be able to do that. So what basically Right Focus is now turning all of that information into a dashboard that our franchise owners now can get into on a day-to-day basis, work with their coaches, their, you know, the individuals, their engagement teams, and their business coaches on being able to see basically where there's, you know, for lack of a better term, areas of opportunity, as we call them, within their business, whether it's from a recruiting standpoint or a financial standpoint. There's several, most of the major categories are captured within Right Focus: financial, operational, recruiting, those types of things. So it's really just a visual depiction of really important information that you can dive down and dig deeper into as needed, but it also just kind of, it's like a dashboard, just gives you an opportunity to review your business on a day-to-day basis.
Okay, awesome. So is there a specific reason why this is something that we created for our franchise owners? Isn't this data that they were collecting already? What was the need for really creating this system and this platform for our franchise owners?
So it's a great question. You know, a lot of the information was being captured either by us at the aggregated level and then fed to, you know, down into the franchise network, or it was information that franchise owners were looking at on their own and pulling out of their own individual operating systems. Even those operating systems kind of reported up, if you will, into a bigger structure. So, or a combination of both of those. So this is a way to make it easier for people to do that. So there's not nearly as much, you know, theoretically, if you put information into our operating systems the way that you're supposed to put it in, then you should get output from it without having to do any additional steps. The other value in it is it allows us, from a corporate standpoint, to really kind of slice and dice and aggregate this information and run statistical analysis of it, whether it's correlation models or regression models or things like that, where we can really take this information on an aggregated basis from a system and say, here's what we've learned about our system and about our structure. And so it's really, and I'll probably talk about this a little bit later in the call at some point, but it's also kind of phase one for what is a huge data project within the organization. So the first step is we just wanted to get information into the hands of franchise owners to make sure that they have the best information at the moment in helping them build their businesses. There's a whole second wave and third wave and fourth wave of this technology platform and data platform that's coming as well.
Okay, Awesome. And I know that there are a few main areas of focus, really just to give our listeners some type of a background information as to the type of information that we focus on for Right Focus and the four business components that we really do focus on. Would you mind elaborating a little bit more about those four components, which are supply and demand, quality, operations, and market? So why are those four components things that we focus on for this specific platform?
So basically what we did is we spent a lot of time working not only within, you know, from our own knowledge base and our own experiences as being a, you know, in the industry for nearly 25 years, and some of us have been in the industry for even longer, and then also working with our franchise owners to say, okay, what really is meaningful? What is the really critical drivers for the business? It's important to really understand what the drivers are. It's kind of like understanding if you're if you're a physician, what you really want to diagnose is the root cause of a disease or a problem. You don't want to just be treating symptoms. So the nice way of saying is that we spent a lot of time really making sure that we were all on the same page regarding what the actual diagnosis is, and make sure that we're not just treating symptoms. So those four areas are critical areas in running a business. That if you don't recruit enough caregivers and you don't have enough clients, which is the supply and demand side, then that's going to be a problem. But then if you have plenty of caregivers and plenty of clients, but you're doing a really poor job of bringing those two things together and providing services, meaning your quality is poor, then you're still going to have problems growing a business. Or if you do all of those things great, but you do it without profit, then your business isn't going to last. So it's important to make sure that you're balanced and you're doing all of those things well. So there are then specifically within those areas, like, for example, supply and demand, one of the key areas that we focus on is bench strength, and that's really understanding what we call our caregiver-to-client ratio. So that's making sure that you have the right amount of caregivers at all times within your bench to give you an opportunity to grow. So that's a number. That number has a formula that goes with it. That formula is fed by, you know, systems and will turn out a number that's meaningful. And then you can look at that number and compare yourself against your own business. You could say, okay, you know, this time last year I was at a three, for example, and this year I'm at a six, so I've moved the needle. That's good. But when I look at myself compared to my peers, I'm still behind. I'm three behind or whatever. So then there's ways for you to compare yourself against others in our system on all of these four areas and the drivers that make up those four areas, if that makes sense.
Awesome. Yes, it makes sense to me. And something that you said earlier that I want to touch on, areas of opportunities. So really just to simplify this for our listeners, this platform basically takes all of that data and it automatically identifies for our franchise owners those specific areas of opportunity. So, and another thing that you mentioned earlier is basically if you're using, the software that we provide, if you're using that correctly, it automatically pulls that information from within. So there's, just to point out, there isn't any, you know, manual data entry for our franchise owners. This is something that's, it's automatically collected from the data that we already have, correct?
That's correct, yeah. So you do have to do data entry, but you're doing data entry in sort of the normal operations of your business. So you're entering your clients,
sure,
your system, you're entering your caregivers, mm-hmm, and then it pulls from that data to kind of run these numbers. And to your other question, it is a really simplified interface in the sense that if there's an area of opportunity, it's highlighted. So you'll see colors,
sure,
change and those types of things to really draw your attention to, hey, you're, you know, not only is the number low or whatever or high, you know, in whatever case, but it's yellow. So now it's really pointing out to you that, yep, this is an area that's at risk. It's not in the danger zone yet, but it's at risk. So, you know, have you addressed this with your team, you know, whether that's getting more applications in or getting more people hired or whatever it is. So it's an easy-to-use system, and it will continue to be. I mean, the form that it lives in today is certainly not going to be what it's going to look like in a year or two. I would imagine probably even in 6 months. We're going to continue to evolve,
mm-hmm,
the tool, as more people work with it and we get feedback on what people like and what people don't like, and do they want more information or less, and or they want it, you know, displayed in a different way. So it will continue to evolve as we evolve.
Sure. Okay, and that's actually a good transition into another initiative I want to mention, which is corporate-owned territories. Now, is RightFocus something that we use in our corporate-owned territories, which is a current initiative that we're working on here at Right at Home?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we're trying to build where we're building corporate-owned locations. We're trying to build those corporate-owned locations to really mirror the day-to-day operations of a franchise. In fact, right down to the level that our corporate-owned locations pay a royalty just like our franchise owners do. So that way the financial models and everything are identical. So when we're comparing performance of corporate-owned units against franchise units, we're comparing apples to apples as best as we can. There's going to be some differences for sure. But we're trying to make it as close as possible. So, yes, our branch directors that are running those branches are not franchise owners, but they still have access to RightFocus, and the expectation is they will use RightFocus the way that, you know, we hope our franchise owners are using it as well.
Sure. Okay. So, question for you. Why is this a current initiative for Right at Home? Why is this something that, as far as corporate-owned territories that we haven't done in the past, that we are really now spearheading and going to do here in the future?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, I hate that we're almost calling this to some degree. This is more an internal agenda than anything else. I almost hate that we're calling it a new initiative because really in a lot of ways it's a different channel under the same initiative, for lack of a better term. So.
Sure.
We did have a corporate-owned location for a long time. In fact, the original office that Allen opened in Omaha back in 1995, which was kind of the basis for all of Right at Home, owned that as a corporate-owned location until about 2016. But we just had that. We had that one. And then we ultimately turned that into a franchise. And then what I realized is after we turned it into a franchise and we didn't have a corporate-owned location that there was really some opportunities that we were missing and, quite frankly, didn't really leverage even up until 2016 when we had the one corporate-owned location. So I sort of made the joke or made the statement, I guess it's kind of a joke, over the years that having one corporate-owned location is kind of like being a little bit pregnant. You just can't be a little bit pregnant. You're either pregnant or you're not. And we were sort of acting a little bit pregnant. So if we were going to do corporate-owned locations, we need to do more of them. And so the reason why, ultimately why we're doing it, and I'll kind of give you three or four different reasons that really led to the decision to take a more aggressive approach, for lack of a better term, with corporate-owned locations, is number one, the dynamics of the market are really rapidly changing, as you know, and you hear us talk about all the time. There's a lot of things happening in the market, and there's a lot of things coming, technologies and other things that we as a corporate office want to be able to test and model and do that in an environment where we control all the variables. The reality is we don't control all the variables in a franchise location because they're independently owned and operated. And there's some rules about even joint employer, as an example, is one area of risk that keeps us from engaging with our franchise owners, caregivers, and their office staff in the way that we would need to. So corporate-owned locations are a way for us to really create meaningful test sites. We'll still test in franchise offices too, but doing that in a corporate-owned location, it's easier for us because we control those variables. So we want to be able to do that. Number two, and we kind of knew this going in, is that we think that having corporate-owned locations and having more of them will make us a better franchisor because we're now also walking kind of in the shoes of the franchise owners and understanding what's happening, you know, even in a more meaningful way in markets. So we think there'll be some benefit there. The other reason that we're doing it is because the market's changing and some of the opportunities that have presented with CMS and Medicare Advantage and some of the other things that are happening, market saturation is really critical. So, in other words, the bigger we are, the better it's going to be for all of us. And we're already one of the largest private pay home care companies in the world, but we still have undeveloped areas of the U.S. that we're not able to. That's the one downside to franchising, is you really don't control where you grow. You have to grow when you have the right franchise owner that presents for a market. It's difficult for us to say, oh, we want to be in Buffalo, New York, and 3 months later we're in Buffalo, New York, unless we own that office and open that office. So that's part of the other reason we're doing it, is we just want to get some flags planted in the map in some markets where we just haven't had a presence, because strategically it's important for us to do that.
Sure. Okay. Yep, that makes absolute sense. And then something that you touched on that actually is another initiative that you probably want to talk about, the partnerships with companies like CMS and others. Do you want to touch on that a little bit as far as another current initiative that we're working on?
Yeah, so again, another one. This is, you know, initiative is a term that kind of makes it sound like it's something that we're doing, and then at some point in the future we probably won't. I think this is just going to be the nature of who we are, and it'll become sort of part of our culture going forward. So CMS is Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services in Washington, D.C. So this is a government, a very, very, very large government entity that controls all the entitlement dollars that flow through Medicare and Medicaid. So they create all the programs, they, you know, manage and issue policy statements. And so a couple of years ago, really in April of 2017, CMS issued a policy statement that said they were going to allow Medicare Advantage plans to start paying for services more similar to what Right at Home provides, custodial care types of services as they defined it. They're still not paying for these services under traditional Medicare and Medicaid, but they are providing it under, or allowing it to be paid for by Medicare Advantage companies. That was a really dramatic policy shift. That's just not something that was anticipated that they would do, because they had, you know, Medicare was created back in the Kennedy administration in '62, and they've never paid for services like this and never even gave an inkling of paying for these types of services. So this policy statement a couple of years ago really shook the industry. And so everybody's still trying to figure out what it means. Medicare Advantage plans are offered through insurance companies. So Blue Cross Blue Shield, Aetna, Humana, they all have Medicare Advantage plans. There's about 4,600 Medicare Advantage plans operating right now in the U.S. or being offered in the U.S. And only a handful of them right now are offering the benefits that were allowed to be offered almost 2 years ago. So what does that mean for us? It means that we're having to turn, from a corporate standpoint, we're having to turn a lot of resources into evaluating these programs and beta testing to try to figure out, working with insurance companies to figure out what these plans are going to look like, how they're going to pay, what our services are going to be. And we're right along, frankly, with every other competitor, really, by and large, at least the large competitors, in working with these insurance plans. So it's not one of those things that, you know, our franchise owners or anybody that's contemplating would look at and say, oh my gosh, well, you know, this company over here is working with Blue Cross Blue Shield and that makes them better than you all. That's really not the case. Actually, it's beneficial for the entire industry for us to be working with different plans and different providers, because we're all trying to figure out what this means. And so we have programs right now with Aetna and some others in place, and some that we're continuing to work on as well. So that's probably going to be these plans are going to be probably a pretty significant part of our future going forward, meaning we'll continue to test and work within these plans and try to figure out how best to do this and does it make sense to do it from a system standpoint.
Got it. Yep. Okay. And then another thing that I wanted to mention or bring up that you mentioned earlier when we were talking about Right Focus, you mentioned something about a data project that we are working on that you said you probably referred to later on in the call. Would you want to touch on that a little bit right now?
Yeah, I think, you know, this the right focus – okay, let me back up. So data is becoming – like it is in every other industry, it's becoming really, really critical in healthcare. And there's lots of reasons for that, and it's probably outside the scope of this call for me to really get into all those reasons. But suffice it to say that our policymakers in Washington and in the state houses all over the country are dying for information and wanting information about how people age in the home and what that looks like and outcome data. And they're asking for that information to be provided from Medicare home care providers, private pay providers like Right at Home and others. And so insurance companies are really interested. So Medicare Advantage plans that I just mentioned, one of the reasons why there's a little bit of delay in trying to figure out what these programs are going to look like is that there's just not a lot of data out there because we haven't had to report to insurance companies for the last 25 years. And so, you know, we've just been focused on taking care of our clients and providing great services to our clients and their families. So we're trying to figure out what data is necessary. They don't really even know. But there's also a lot of information that's buried within, I say sort of buried within our system right now. I mentioned even this morning I was talking to some people and I said, you know, we put about 3 million hours of care through our system, our software system on a monthly basis, and that's just in the U.S. So about 3 million hours of care on a monthly basis, and every one of those hours of care has a, think about it, in sort of DNA. Tap to that individual hour, there's a lot of information in that hour of care about our clients. We know their age, we know their chronic care conditions, we know their medications that they're on, we know their family dynamics, we know if they have kids that live close by or live far away, we know how they use home care services, do they use any other services, how often do they get hospitalized, and I could go on and on and on and on and on. That information is incredibly valuable to a lot of people right now who are trying to figure out how to provide as much care as we can in the most efficient way because of our aging population. It's also really important to us because it really isn't can inform us on our strategy and what do we know about our clients. And I've said here a couple times to individuals, can you imagine a world where as a franchise owner you walk into a client's home and you sit down and you say, okay, let's talk about what you need. Tell me about your mom and your care situation. So you pull up your iPad and you start plugging into the iPad, you know, her age, her chronic care conditions, the medications that she's on, and some of the things. And these are all questions you're getting during an assessment anyway. So you're getting all this information, you're plugging it into an iPad. Maybe that iPad is tied directly into our system that then can start building for you a profile. So by the time you get done entering all that information, you can turn to the client and say, all right, so here's what we know. We just went back. What we know from all of our years of experience is what works the best with all these factors that you just put in is about 10 to 15 hours on a weekly basis. And here's how it's typically constructed. Now, your situation is a little bit different because you have this dynamic. And so we can make those adjustments. But more importantly than what's happening today, Mr. and Mrs. Client, let me tell you about the path forward. We also know that what typically happens when people start with your set of circumstances, they usually within 6 months to a year, it's important for us to bring in technology. It's important for us to do this. It's important for us to do that. So if we mine that data effectively and it can really change the conversation and the dynamics because clients don't know what's coming next. They have no idea. They think that a lot of people think of aging as an event. Oh, my mom's getting old. Something happens, and boom, I'm bringing in home care, and then that's kind of all I need to worry about. No, depending on the circumstances and the family conditions and the dynamics of the household, there's a lot more coming that you probably need to be thinking about. So let's start proactively having those conversations, and we can show you a pathway to what care is going to look like for you over the course of the next year or two. And so we'll be doing regular check-ins. And so it just changes the dynamic. and it makes us more, even more of a partner in somebody's care and creates opportunities for us to engage with those clients in a very different way, even beyond home care.
Awesome. And so you mentioned policymakers in Washington, insurance company, they're requesting this data. Is this something that we're currently working on with them? Did they reach out to us with this information? And this is something, a project that we're currently working on that we're going to spearhead here, or is this something that's already in the works?
So I'll answer that question. There's multiple questions in there. I'll answer them all yes. it is yes, really, to all of them. So some of it were, you know, just from our interactions with politicians and policymakers at the state and at the federal level, we know some of the things that they're looking for. We've talked about it a lot. Even a few years ago, we were one of the first, actually the first company in the industry. We partnered with Harvard and the Harvard Medical School on our own pilot, which was all on decreasing hospital admissions and can we actually decrease not only hospital readmissions, but can we decrease admissions to begin with? That was really important. We did that with Harvard, but that one was really positioned well with our policymakers in Washington because they were very interested in that type of thing. So some of it we're doing on our own. Some of it we're doing in response to feedback that we're getting, more information that's coming in from policymakers, and some of it is coming from what we're learning from insurance companies as they're starting to get into the Medicare Advantage world now. They're saying, wait a minute, you know, we really want to try to figure out how to construct this program, but what we don't know is this. Can we get whatever this piece of data is to help us figure out how to construct these programs? So it's really kind of coming from a lot of different angles. And then the fourth angle is, you know, we are an active member of the association, the Home Care Association of America. I'm on the board of that organization. And the HCAOA needs information because they are our industry advocates. So we send them a lot of times into meetings of Congress and with senators and, you know, representatives and those types of things to have these discussions on behalf of the industry, not just on behalf of a brand. So the HCOA is also a customer, if you will, user of this type of data. So as an industry, we partner with most of the other brands to make sure that we can get some of this information over to the appropriate people in Washington.
Awesome. And that's great. Thank you for providing that additional information. And even as I mentioned earlier, we're almost out of time here. So just to wrap up, Brian, are there any last thoughts that you'd like to tell our listeners here, anything that we're currently working on in order to grow and compete in this home care space?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's, in addition to the things we talked about today, which, by the way, is a lot, but even the things that we talked about today beyond that, we've got a lot of programs that are focusing on how we recruit, how we retain caregivers, changing that, kind of those dynamics as we go forward to recognize the current realities of the marketplace. I'm in a meeting today I stepped out of with we've got a branding company here in town, one of the largest marketing and branding companies in the world, frankly, and they're here today to kick off a meeting where we're going to do a complete brand journey where we're going to evaluate our brand and all of our messaging and what our website and all of those types of things. So that's really stuff that's going to be done at the corporate level, but will ultimately obviously trickle right down into the franchises with what the websites look like and our brand and our positioning and this brand journey that we're going on. We're going to have a lot of our franchise owners participating in that as well. So there's just a lot. I could go on. There's probably 30 more minutes of things that we're working on. But that's our job. That's what we do. You know, again, as I said earlier, we're one of the largest home care providers, certainly in the U.S., if not all over the world. And so as a result of that, it's really important for us to be, you know, leading as much as we can on technology and these types of things. So we have a lot of things that we're working on and always focused on still just, you know, providing the best support that we can for our franchise owners. And that's really why we're doing all of this, is to provide the best support that we can for our, you know, both our corporate-owned locations, which are only three at the moment, and, you know, the several hundreds franchise locations that we have in our 8 countries.
Absolutely. All right. Awesome, Brian. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to visit today. Just wanted to let our listeners know that we are taking the week off next week for the Thanksgiving holiday, but hoping that you can join us next time on Tuesday, December 3rd, where the topic will be, is a franchise right for you? So once again, thanks everyone for joining us, and thank you, Brian, for your time today.
Absolutely. Thanks to everybody that joined today and that's going to listen later.
Okay. Have a great day, everyone. Thank you.